Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very, very welcome back. Now, this week saw temperatures hit 28 degrees in some parts of the country for the third time this summer alone, even getting to over 30 degrees in Roscommon last month. According to Met Éireann, summers that were once unusual are now common, and cooler summers have become increasingly rare. So are the houses that we live in fit for future heatwave type conditions? Architect, broadcast and lecturer Roisin Murphy is with me now. You're very, very welcome. Like, we've all been enjoying the lovely weather, but sometimes we're in the house at night and it can be a bit oppressive. Let's start with the, I suppose, the older type of houses are probably the vast bulk of our housing stock. What materials are they built from and what were they designed for at the time, I guess? It was probably for keeping in the heat.
I think it was all about keeping in the heat and keeping out the rain. They range from stone, hollow concrete block, solid cast concrete, and then brick, and a thing called a kind of a black concrete that they would have used as well in Dublin, which is it's almost gone completely. It was a really kind of like clinker is how you describe it. And then obviously your posher stone cut mansion, but very few of us are living in those. And then a mixture, sometimes you'd have a brick front. Now we have 10 building types as such, or eras of buildings that have all been tabulated by Taboola, and they will describe, if you're doing say a retrofit, you can find your building type usually on this list and it'll recommend all the various ways in which you can upgrade them. But yeah, we've about 10 building types, but they don't vary much in technology. The technology was all basic. It was basically, and we were poor, so our technology and size of our houses weren't great.
Yeah, and we weren't probably thinking of the type of, you know, climate changes that we're seeing now.
We certainly weren't. And even I think when we're talking about retrofitting and all of the thing about the passive house, it really, you know, people can talk about climate change, but it's here with us now and you can see it. So we are talking about something that's vague and at the distance. People find it difficult to understand the meaning, other than when bills came, there was suddenly a move towards it. But now that I think we're seeing climate change really in our cities and particularly in mainland Europe, people are understanding the importance of green building now for the first time.
Can you talk to me about it's sort of widely discussed in London a lot, which is that whole concept of the urban heat island. Yeah. What is that?
That's basically where in a city, buildings will retain heat, particularly black buildings, black tar, a bit like a storage heater. Then they're absorbing all that heat during the day and they're letting it out at night. So people are having a phenomena of like very hot, overpowering heat, basically concentrated in urban areas. Now, we've actually known about that since the early 2000s. And what I was interesting when is that if you look at some of the wealthier and more progressive, because they're wealthier and they've had a longer time building for themselves in Austria, they have done a thing called, they've had green roofs and green walling in their cities deliberately to counteract this measure. And they have seen, and they are not having the same increases in city temperatures that are, say, we're seeing in London and Paris in particular.
Well, we're not London or Paris or other places that have a particularly high density, but do we experience that phenomenon here at all in our own kind of larger urban centres, that idea of a heat island?
I think any dense area, but we don't have the same level of densities, but we will be experiencing it, and we are putting down, I mean, I was talking to some of my colleagues in the RAI in the Southern District yesterday about this, and they're saying that for any renovations we're seeing, what we're really looking for is, I don't know if you can, if you've ever been abroad, you'll see the lovely yellow sand streets. So we're still pouring black tarmac. Do you know what I mean? So it's not just the density of the buildings, it's the surface of materials we're using. So you will always find a hotter temperature in any of those areas. So we need to tackle it regardless of whether we're even experiencing it at the same level. And there is a pile on in terms of changing of building style, so we're going to be experiencing it soon.
And what about the suburbs? Is it easier? Is life easier in the suburbs?
Life is easier in the suburbs. Life is easier in the suburbs.
For all sorts of reasons.
Because it's greener. And that's one of the reasons we have parks, like in urban planning, and you'll hear people giving out about, even in Anne's Park, right, not to get into that contentious planning issue. But there are reasons why planners desperately hold on to green public spaces, because they have to, because the city is just, it's a living thing. It breathes, and part of that green space, we know even from the history of New York, you know, Manhattan and Central Park was there because the city became ill from disease because it was too dense. So we have to integrate green spaces in. But also the other thing, and I suppose it's one of those things, apart from the island, it also, like green roofing in particular, because there's a talk, I don't know if you know anything about blue roofing versus green roofing. So blue roofing on a flat roof structure, blue roofing is all about holding the water and delaying it going into the ground. So green roofing, which is about putting sort of, you know, a mixture of vegetation depending on the depth of your roof to support it. So that absorbs water and prevents the water from going up. But also it's part of the flood measures.
And I was thinking, just as you said that, like, you know, just, you know, the crazy paving. We went sort of concrete mad.
I love concrete.
Yeah. And still. And obviously you're kind of now seeing rewilding and a move towards that. But even just, you know, whether it is tarmac or driveways or everything, that also does affect
100%. And it was one of the first things whenever they, and I do think that we have this also, this we're not investing enough in the long think that has been done. Say Dublin City Council has a green roof policy, 100 square metres you have to provide a green roof. We're looking for it all over the regions, but in particular, say for instance, everybody's saying we're going to put another 45 square metres in the back of everybody's garden if they have 25 square metres. Those buildings have to have a green roof, otherwise we will have, you know, the rain comes, where does it go? Then we have flooding. So it's that idea that this is a long-term project. So as soon as you put a hard stand on your in your driveway, that has to be permeable. The water must be able to go through that. So the crazy paving we're going to have to keep for the fireplaces like we had in the 1970s.
We know that the, you know, homes that are too hot, it's not just uncomfortable. It actually can be
oppressive.
Dangerous. You know, it can be oppressive. And we're looking at, you know, that whole, you know, not everybody is going to have the resources to retrofit their homes, you know.
100% agree.
And there's probably maybe a conversation we'll get to later about, you know, climate change and inequality. But what practical steps can people take? One of our listeners says, Dervin, my bedroom is so uncomfortable at night because of the heat. Can you ask Roisin if there's anything I can do which is sustainable? I'm thinking of buying a fan, but I know that's using a lot of electricity.
Okay, the sustainable thing about this, and first of all, there are just the SEA, I always say there are things for even the most, the poorest among us to get onto the ladder of sustainable design and sustainable retrofitting. But there are basic things. Shade is a huge thing. And one of the really simple thing, don't let the light in. So during the day, have your blinds down. And also, I'm a big fan of gorgeous looking architecture as well. I hate to say, like, I've always, one of the reasons I think I feel like a kind of a liar at times, because I actually think sustainable green architecture is just gorgeous always. So you can put awnings, you know, you can have retractable awnings that go on the outside of the house.
Hugely popular on the European continent. They have them everywhere.
But they were all over Dublin shopping district years ago. We put them on the front of Brown Thomas, red retractable awnings. They can go out, they can shade, so the prevention the light from just coming in and hitting that ground, you know, the floor in front of you. Try and not have carpets on your flooring. Have rugs so that you can pull the back. So in the winter, they're warm. And in the summertime, if the light is hitting the floor, it's a cooler wood or stone. But you also plants. Now, I hate to say it, but like, we underestimate the power of a good hygge interior. They are fantastic. Planting inside, outside.
It absorbs the heat.
It absorbs the heat, but also it helps filter, like spider plants, we know, filter air. Yeah. And the other thing is, if you have, now the French are all talking about putting ice cubes. They put ice cubes in their windowsills.
The French are in a terrible state of chance at this over the minute. Took their
Sacrebleu.
Culture wars over whether or not to use air conditioning. And obviously they're experiencing much more extreme heat conditions that we are. But I suppose it does touch, you know, just on, you know, some people might be asking, well, look, you know, is it reasonable for us to slap on air conditioning units to bedroom windows? You know, it's more New York than New Ross.
Yeah, well, there's no need yet. I mean, one of the realities.
So what would you do instead?
Oh, I think you do passive measures first. Now, the thing, passive house cooling is the first step in any retrofit.
What does that mean?
It means you design your house to ventilate. even if you even go on to any passive housing architecture, and one of the guys who's in this argument about the air conditioning in France also says, you know, shading, insulate. Oh, first of all, insulate your home. Your insulation protects your house from heating up and cooling down. So it's protective all in all measures, but also the positioning of windows so that you want solar gain in the winter, but you also want to create a draft. Now, a draft is a really simple thing. You have one window that will open. Sometimes at high level, you can create a draft. So you position your windows. No. The attic is the obvious one. Sorry, you're quite right. And I should have said it first. Is always have ventable roof spaces. So always put a Velux in an attic because it allows air out and you immediately cool the house. You're taking your top hat off. But also this idea of cooling towers. And I saw that we have this architecture built into our knowledge bank as architects. I would say if you're going on any house project, and this isn't just an ad for architects, but it's really important that people understand passive methods of cooling before they go to air conditioning, because air conditioning is expensive. It's just recycling the problem of because you're sending hot air out into the streets, so it's not appropriate.
So how do you design or moderate a home, let's say Roscommon, because they got they got hit with very high temperatures, where you're trying to potentially deal with a low of maybe minus 6 degrees in winter, but also a high, as we've been seeing, maybe of 31 degrees. Is that feasible?
It is feasible. But first of all, you need to insulate the slab. If it's a new build, you're insulating the ground slab. So that you know, all edges of it, so it retains heat, but also prevents the buildup of heat. You know, when I'm talking about the angle of the sun as it hits the ground, you have shading that both protects from heat glare and heat in the summer, but also you can retract it in the winter. So you've got the full, and that's better than the louvers because it also protects, in Ireland, will protect against rain. You then green up your roofs. There's retrospective greening you can do on your housing, but also the idea, and this is, I suppose, my favourite thing, is the idea of the positioning of windows. It's not necessarily, you know, the big, huge glass, I suppose the glass triple glaze units.
That's the big craze for these kind of box houses with massive windows. Is that a no-no?
No, I think it's a bit of a no-no because it's not adaptable enough. You need to think about yourself like a sailing ship. So you're opening one door. You remember years ago you'd hear a slamming door and we were all about, hey, shut the door. So you allow, and if you can't open a window, you have a top opening section in a door. You create dark spots in your house, believe it or not, if you're in a bungalow. So you have, like, for instance, I would say, like, my own mum's house, what she's doing, she put a conservatory on the back of the house, was a machine for sun, so she sits in that. But in the back of the house, because she's blocked it up and she's actually made it cool in the middle. But the other thing, and it is open plan, and the second thing, if you have a terraced house, is to make a kind of a cooling tower. And a cooling tower can be a stairwell with your Velux window over the top of it. So, and that has existed for millennium, since the Greek courtyard house. We know how to do it. It's just, we think, and it's a worry about the kind of passive house retrofit thing, is that we think it's all going to be supplied by technology. There's not, but intrinsic into this is good planning and good design.
So whatever about the medium and long term, for our listener tonight, who says tonight.
She needs to get a blind. First of all, she pulls the blind out, bring the plants in. And the other thing I would say, a client during the week who I was, did a really interesting colour consultation with a colourblind man and his wife. Apologies to them. They're all listening in Drumcondra going, Jesus, he's going to mention us. I won't mention your names. But he talked about his mattress. So this sounds really odd, right? But first of all, take up the carpets as well. They're a divil. Yeah. But he talked about a cooling mattress and a heating mattress. So they had a huge problem because they live in one of these old houses. So sometimes it's a simple thing, a weighted linen blanket, cool pillows, but also a fan. Plug in a fan, but don't go near that air conditioning because you're just adding to the problem.
So our poor listener, rip up the carpets, I think.
Rip them up.
Oh, open the window. Run a cool tap for now. But for now, Roisin Murphy, architect, broadcaster and author, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to take a very quick break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.